when last we met, I spoke to you from the subject suddenly at midnight. Now, you don't have to wait until the morning to see the light. Hopefully we learn that. But you start praying and praising God even in your midnight situation, because God is working on your deliverance, even in what seems to be the darkness of midnight. Hold on, because the sun, not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N, is coming. And so the theme of that message we were dealing with was dealing with the transitions in life. So we'll continue along that vein, but I want to show you from the Old Testament reference how we should respond to the transitory nature of life. So just let me warn you in advance, there's too much preaching in this particular pericope of text that I've picked up for preaching at this particular time for me to preach all at once. I'm just not that good of a preacher. Others can, but I it's just too much in there for me. So I'm just going to pick out and pull on a few points, help us to deal with the transitions that we are all going through in life. Some are on a national level, some are on a congregational level, but we're all going through some type of transitions on a personal level. Whether you have become a parent to your parent, or you're dealing with health issues, or you're dealing with going back to school issues and with children, we're all dealing with some type of transitions. And it's almost enough to make you pull out your hair, throw up your hands, both hands, and holler. So I want to use this text as a launching pad to show you some things this morning to help us along the way. In the text, and just for emphasis sakes, I'll read to you verse number 17 through 19 again. It says this: although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. And I'll stop right there. I won't have enough time to deal with the hinds feet and all that other stuff. But what I want you to know, I want to speak to you from this particular topic this morning. Hallelujah. Anyhow, they ask you, what did the preacher preach about on Sunday? Hallelujah. Anyhow, no matter what my circumstance, no matter what my situation I'm in, no matter what my problem, issue, or concern, no matter how long the day, no matter how hard the night, no matter how hard the fight or long the night, I will praise God at all the time. His praise shall continually be on my lips. Hallelujah. Anyhow. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Hallelujah. Anyhow. Now, before we get into that, let me do a little historical background on Habakkuk. That's what, how we pronounce it. It's pronounced Habakkuk, but we say Habakkuk. Okay. So let me do a little background on that. It's one of those books that we don't oftentimes read. I know if you're using your paper copy of the Bible, you may have had to go to the index. I ain't mad at you, to find out where is Habakkuk. Are you sure that's in the Bible? Yeah. It's there. I know it took a little while to find it. But listen, the name Habakkuk is an unusual Hebrew name derived from the verb habak, which means to embrace or to wrestle. His name means to wrestle. Not much is known about him. Not much is written about him. But he may be more familiar to Bible readers than you think. You see, Habakkuk 2 and 4 is quoted three times in the New Testament. In Romans 1 and 17. In Galatians 3 and 11. And in Hebrews 37 and 38. And you're familiar with the term because you've heard it many times where it says, and the just shall live, how? by faith. Well, that's Habakkuk. Habakkuk represents many of us who love God. When we start to study this text, he represents many of us who love God, but we have some doubts. You say, oh no, Brother Murphy, we don't have. Yeah, we have some doubts. We trust God, but it gets hard sometimes when we see the wicked prosper. When we see brothers and sisters of a like tone treated unjustly, unfairly, and unequally. It gets hard sometimes when you think of Trayvon Martin, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, and just all of a sudden, just up the road in Kenosha this week, we hear about Jacob Blake, shot 7 times in the back, and suddenly it's midnight all over again. We believe God's word, but the situation seems impossible to face. It seems impossible to comprehend, to understand. We know he is there, but we can't always seem to find him. So Habakkuk means to wrestle. Remember, Jacob wrestled with God, and we have to wrestle and grapple with God's word to try and understand God and what is going on in our world around us. You see, I don't always understand God. Can I be real? Can I be real? Okay. Thanks, Sister Spivey. Listen, I don't always get God. I don't always know what he's up to. But I do know this. When we are down to nothing, God is up to something. When we can't figure out, should I turn left or should I turn right? God has already made the way straight. Okay, well, hallelujah anyhow, Sister Foley, Mama Marsha, Sister Scott. Listen, when we are at our wits' end and can't figure out what's in front from what's in back, God already knows what's ahead. God is still God in spite of what's going on all around us. Well, hallelujah anyhow. Listen, sometimes I struggle. I think it was Rochelle said, I may be struggling, but I'm still standing. Sometimes I struggle. I wrestle with that. I wrestle with not knowing aspect of my relationship with God. And it causes me to question. Oh, preacher, no, you don't have questions. Yeah, I do. Now, listen, I'm not afraid to question God. You see, God is not intimidated by my little questions. As a matter of fact, you have to have a really weak faith if you don't have some questions. Like, why do people who don't even go to church seem to be getting ahead of me? Why is it that so-and-so marriage, it seemed to be working out, and I come to church Sunday, Wednesday, and we can't seem to get it together? Why do bad things happen to good people, and the wicked seem to prosper? If you have questions, well, you're in good company, because this is the turmoil that Habakkuk finds himself in at the opening chapters of Habakkuk chapter 1. You see, in Habakkuk chapter 1, it's only 3 chapters in the whole book. But in Habakkuk chapter 1, he finds himself dealing with the double enigma of God's divine providence. I'll say that again. He finds himself dealing with the double enigma of God's divine providence. Well, what do you mean, preacher? What were you talking about? Well, number one, the first part of the enigma is that God's people are sinning a great sin and God is doing nothing about it. The second part of that enigma is that God uses a nation worse than his own people to judge his people. Okay, I'll let that soak in, because we haven't read the text yet. You don't have a reason to shout yet. Don't worry. Listen. What's happening here with the nation of Judah is that they have sinned. They have left God. And what God does is he says, you know what? I'm going to come in judgment on you. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put somebody that's worse than you in judgment of you. You see, the main topic of the prophecy of Habakkuk or Habakkuk is how God, who is holy and just, uses evil man to fulfill his purpose in the world. You see, Jehoiakim is king in this text. We're doing a little going to school first. Jehoiakim is king. Babylon has already overthrown Nineveh. And now God is using a heathen like Babylon's king, Jehoiakim, to overthrow his people, to chasten God's people, to teach God's people they need to repent and turn back to God. Although repeatedly called to repentance, the nation of Judah stubbornly refuses to change her ways. In other words, it's kind of like what is going on in the United States right now. Consider this. I heard you all talking during the break. Perhaps, listen, now just listen to it, brother. Perhaps the election of Donald Trump raised to the highest office of the nation was not an accident. It's not the first time God has used the ungodly or unrighteous to chasten his people. It may be that God is using Trump to discipline this nation. And I'm speaking apolitically. I'm speaking as a citizen of another kingdom. Maybe he's using God to point out to us that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:4-15 says, now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto their prayer that is made in this place. Listen, if we want a better world starts with me. If we want a better world starts with you. If we want a better world starts with kingdom disciples. Listen, God is not waiting to hear from the mayor. God is not waiting to hear from the governor's house. God is not waiting to hear from the president or the White House. God is waiting to hear from Beth El, the house of God, the ground and pillar of truth. Listen, God is waiting to hear from his people. When God is back in his rightful place in our hearts, he can be back in his rightful place in the land. Boy, you said something there. God has to be back in his rightful place in our hearts if we expect him to be back into a rightful place in this land. Let me say it like this. If you want to make America great again, make God great again in your heart. What we need is we don't need a Republican agenda. We don't need a Democratic agenda. We don't need the RNC or the DNC. What we need is a kingdom agenda. We need a put God first agenda if you want to change this world. And so God needs kingdom disciples to turn this world around. If you don't believe me, just go back and read Acts chapter 17 and ask Jason. He was hiding Paul and Silas. And so a mob came and they said, where are these men who have come to turn the world upside down? Jesus took 12 disciples and turned the world upside down because he came with a kingdom agenda. We have to be careful, folks, because we work in everybody else's agenda except God. Listen, the devil wants to keep you filled with doubts instead of shouts. He wants you to focus on your peripheral problems instead of prayer, on your presenting issues instead of praise. But I heard the old folks say, but if you trust God and never doubt, he shall surely bring you out. Well, hallelujah, anyhow. Listen, what do you mean, Brother Murphy, when you say your peripheral problems? Here are what peripheral problems are. Anything that takes your focus off of God is a peripheral problem. when I was in the military, if you've ever spent any time in the military, you learn how to march. And what they tell you to do when you're marching is they say, we want you to use your peripheral vision. Your peripheral vision is what you look at from the side. I see what's going on around me, but my focus is on what's in front of me. That's how we're able to march and move forward in a straight line. Because I see this, what's going on this side. I see what's going on that side. But I'm keeping my vision on what's ahead of me, so I will not stumble or fall. I see coronavirus on this side. I see crime on this side. I see education and election issues on this side. I see environmental issues on this side. I see health issues, mental health issues, finance issues, Zoom fatigue, Black Lives Matter. I see all of that, but my focus has got to be straight ahead on God. Because if I take my eyes off of, if I focus on my peripheral problems, I will not focus on the problem solved. And all I'll end up seeing is my peripheral problems. Make sense, Kenfo? Let me rush on to the text. Now understand that all of this stuff I'm talking about, election, coronavirus, crime, all of this stuff, none of these are less important. But without God, here come your shout. None of it is important. Without God, none of it is. Listen. We talk about, and I am not against that by no means. I am Black, and Black lives do matter, and I'll say it and say it again. But what we must never lose focus on is what really matters. And what really matters is that you're going to stay Black, and you're going to die. And after death comes the judgment. Then what's going to matter? Then what will really matter? Listen, be careful of peripheral problems because they can turn into turmoil, cause you to lose your forward focus, and keep your eyes, instead of keeping your eyes front and center on God and watching him work, you lose the focus and you focus on all the stuff around you. So let me share with you just 3 points from this particular lesson that I want to share with you. I want you to focus on the word turmoil. Then we're going to take a look at the tower, and then we're going to look at the triumph. First, we'll examine the turmoil. Then we'll examine the tower, and then we'll examine the triumph, and then the lesson will be yours. Turmoil is defined as a state of great disturbance. Turmoil is confusion or uncertainty. Does any of this sound familiar? Kind of sound like where we are right now in this topsy-turvy world that we live in today? Okay, walk with me around the text. Open your Bibles now. Turn open to Habakkuk. Okay, we're going to start off. We're in chapter 1. Habakkuk chapter 1. We're going to go to Sunday school. Some of y'all missed it. Habakkuk chapter 1. And do I have a readout out there somewhere? Titan, are you out there?
The burden of Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save.
Habakkuk says he's dealing with the turmoil. In chapter 1, he's dealing with the turmoil. He says, here's the burden that I have. Here's the burden that I see. I see what's going on all around me. I see what's happening in my peripheral. I see all this stuff that's going on. And I'm crying out to you, Lord. Habakkuk is in turmoil. And in his turmoil, he says to God, how long will you let this go on? How long will I cry out to you and you not even hear me? And then when you rush on to chapter number 2, he says this. Chapter number 2, verse number 1. What does that say?
I will stand upon my watch.
I will stand upon my watch.
And set me upon the tower.
And set me upon the tower.
And will watch to see what he will say unto me.
Okay, stop right there. So now, in chapter number 1, we're working our way to chapter number 3. In chapter number 1, we have the turmoil. Habakkuk says, I see what's going on, Lord. How long will you allow all of this stuff to happen? And then in chapter number 2, he leaves the turmoil and goes to tarry in a town and fixes himself in a tower. So he leaves the turmoil, goes to tarry in a tower. And then he has the unmitigated gall to say to God, I'm going to just stand right here at this tower. And I'm going to watch and see what you're going to do. How are you going to get glory out of this? How are you, dear Lord, going to get a hallelujah out of this? I'm going to stand right here. I'm going to wait till you do something. I'm waiting to see. And then read verse number 2. Look what verse number 2 says.
And the Lord answered me and said.
So now he asked God a question. And God said, okay. What does it say?
Write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it.
And so what he does is, he says in verse number 2, he says, okay, you up there in the tower, watching all the turmoil, I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. You ask me, I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. I wish I had a Bible reader. He said, make it plain, and it shall speak, and it shall not lie. Write it down. And I'm going to show you how I'm going to get glory out of the judgment of these people. I'm going to show you how, Habakkuk, how I can take your doubts, because you doubt me right now, and I can turn your doubts into shouts. Okay, y'all missing me. I can turn your doubts, Habakkuk, into your shouts. You stand up there on the tower watching to see what I'm going to do. You write it down and you make it plain so that everybody can understand it. And then you go run and tell it. Because I can turn your doubts into shouts. Somebody here ought to be able to help me to testify that if you've ever been walking with the Lord long enough, if you've ever been working with the Lord any length of time, you should know that God can turn your doubts into shouts. Okay, I need a doubter here that God has turned into a shout. I still believe if you trust and never doubt, he will surely, I like Shirley, you know I like Shirley. He will surely bring you out. He will do it. Won't he do it? He'll do it. He will provide. He will make a way out of nowhere. He will pick you up when you are down. He will pick you up and plant your feet on solid ground. God will do it. God is a way maker. He is a God that can show up suddenly at midnight and turn your midnight situation from darkness into daylight, your sighs into songs, your pain into praise. I've seen God move stumbling blocks and obstacles and open doors and answer prayers. I've seen God dry tears. I've seen God calm fears. I've seen God lift you up off of your sick bed. I've watched God lift my daddy up off of a sick bed when the doctor said he's got stage 4 renal cancer. He's not going, you might as well get ready. A whole year gone past. He's eating, he's gaining weight. I've seen God raise folk from a dead horizontal to a living perpendicular, restore marriages, return kids back to families, return back whatever the devil stole. I've seen God put shoes on your feet, food on your table. I know my God is able. Listen, God can turn your doubts into shouts. He can make a way out of no way. Okay, well, hallelujah anyhow. Listen, verse number 2, here's what he says. I believe this is in the Living Bible. It says this, verse number 2. Okay, we're in chapter number 2. Verse number 2. Here's how it says in the Living Bible. And the Lord said to me, write my answer on a billboard. In other words, write it so large and so clear that anyone can read it at a glance and rush and tell others. That's why disciples of Christ, we must go out and pray, spread the gospel. We must teach folks that Jesus died, buried, and rose again for their sins, that the Lord is coming back again. I know that it may seem like things are going on and things are not changing, but verse number 3 says, but these things that I plan, it won't happen right away. And read verse number 3.
For the vision is yet for an appointed time.
It's for an appointed time. It's not going to happen right away. Keep reading.
But at the end it shall speak and not lie.
In other words, slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision that God has in place will be fulfilled. It seems slow, but do not despair. For these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. God always shows up on time. So what Habakkuk did was he saw this problem that was going on in the world. He saw all of the turmoil that was happening in the world. He went to a tower to see, to observe what God was going to do. God said, I'm going to make it plain to you. You're going to see how I can turn your doubts into shouts. And then in chapter number 3, we see how God brings his triumph. But now, before I look at chapter number 3, and we start to move toward a close, I need you to see something here. In chapter number 3, in verse number 17 and 18, verse 17, read the first word.
Although.
In verse number 18, what does that say?
Yet.
Read it again.
Although.
Read it again.
Yet.
One more time.
Although.
One more time.
Yes.
There is a load-bearing beam in this text that rests perpendicularly to a ceiling joist. Okay, I know I'm using construction talk, but y'all hope, just bear with me. There is a load-bearing beam in this text that rests perpendicularly to a ceiling joist. If the load-bearing beam in the text gives way, the entire construction of the text falls apart. But if that load-bearing beam stays in place, everything else in the text will stand. But without it, everything will just fall apart. Okay, let me paint it this way. The ceiling joist in this text is although, in verse 17. Look at verse 17. It says, although. But the load-bearing beam that causes everything to stand in the text is found in verse number 18. It says, yet. Although the fig tree will not blossom, yet. Although there's no fruit on the vine, yet. Although there is no cattle in the stall, Helen, yet. Although I'm broke, yet. Although I got a bad diagnosis from the doctor, yet. Although my child is in jail, yet. Although I'm the only one, this is for my mama, although I'm the only one in my family left alive, and I'm 90-something years old, yet. Although I'm the last one, yet. Although my body can't do what it used to do, yet. Although I'm all COVID-19, mask wearing, social distancing, hand sanitizing, zoomed out, yet I'm going to praise God, lift holy hands, and shout hallelujah anyhow. Boy, you preaching now to yourself, literally. Praise God, because I can't see none of y'all. But I'm just having a good time by myself. Although the fig tree will not blossom, there's no fruit on the vine, there's no cattle in the stall, I thank God for my yet, because my yet holds up my although. Although I don't feel good, yet I will still praise God. Although I'm tired, I'm not weary. Although I don't know how I'm going to make it, yet will I praise God. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, yet not in despair. We are persecuted, yet not forsaken. Cast down, yet not destroyed. We all have an although and a yet, church. That's all I'm trying to share with you right now. And we're dealing with, we all have an although and a yet we're dealing with as we deal with the transitions of life. Although your help has not arrived, yet will you keep fighting. Although your support system seems to be collapsing, yet, Sister Linda, I will keep on trusting God. Although your blues are not like mine, yet we can get through this together, church. That's why God gave us one another. That's why God gave us each other. Verse 18 says, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. It says, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. And verse 19 says, because the Lord God, what does that say in your Bible? The Lord God is my
strength.
Strength. Thank you, Titan. The Lord God is my strength. So hallelujah, anyhow. Almost, although, and yet. I'm not worried about the election. I'm not worried about Trump. I'm not worried about all the stuff that we see going on around us. I didn't say I didn't care. I said, I'm not worried. Because the Lord told me, he said, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious of workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut off like grass and wither like the grass. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. When the wicked, even my enemies, came to eat of my flesh just before they got to me, they stumbled and they fell. Listen, when you trust God with your transitions, he will take care of your turmoil. I'll say that again. When you trust God with your transitions in life, he will take care of your turmoil while you tarry in your tower and observe his triumph. Let me tell you, kinfolk, as I close, why I can shout. Let me tell you why, when I think about the goodness of the Lord, I still shout. Even, I'm not talking about on Sundays, when I'm in my car driving down the street, I can still shout. Because there was a time when I almost let go. The song said, my problems had me bound, depression had me down, but God held me close. Whenever I hear Deborah Walker sing the song, it almost brings tears to my eyes. He says, and he wouldn't let go. I almost gave up. I was right at the edge of a breakthrough, but I couldn't see it. The devil really had me, but Jesus came and grabbed me. He held me close, and he wouldn't let go. I'm here today because God kept me. Well, hallelujah, anyhow. That's the word on the day, kinfolk. That's the best I could do. Give me time, I can do better. But I pray that if you are here today and you're going through something right now, let me not be so presumptuous as to state, if, since we all going through something, I don't know what's going on at your house. I don't know what you're having to deal with. But you got your although. Just make sure your yet never collapses. You hold on to God's unchanging hand. God not only can, God will deliver. And when it happens, it will always be right on time. His sovereignty never changes. I may not be able to rejoice in my sickness, sadness, sorrows, and sufferings, or my situation, but I can always rejoice in his sovereignty. Remember this as I close. What you have to go through, you can write this down. What you have to go through next can't compare to what God has already brought you from. And if he did it before, he can do it again. Well, hallelujah, anyhow. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, what do I need to do? What can I do to make sure when I have my doubts, I can turn them into shouts? Make sure that you're in the Lord. Well, how do I get in the Lord? Because that's where your salvation is. That's why it says in the text, it says, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. In verse number 18, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Because these were people of God Habakkuk was a child of God. You can be a child of God. Wherever you are right now, if you need to be baptized for the remission, for the washing away of your sins, you let us know in just a few moments, and we'll make a way to make that happen for you today. Well, how do I get saved? Do I just hear the word and just say, I'm saved? No, the word of God says, Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And we can make that happen for you today. If you're already a member of the body of Christ, and you want to give God a hallelujah anyhow for what he's done for you, we'll give you that opportunity after a verse of a song. And I turn you over to the brothers who are designated to pray for you at this time. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Lord, hear my humble cry. Sit while on earth thou art calling. Oh Lord, do not this me by. I'm calling you Savior. Oh Savior, why don't you hear my humble cry? Well, sit a while on others you are calling. Lord, well, do not pass me by. I pray that God will continue to richly bless you, that God will keep you, and that no matter what happens this week, you still find a way to say hallelujah anyhow.